Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCV Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, not only are we talking about freedom, since it's so close to 4th of July, but we also have the Herminator in the house.
Woo!
Jennifer, welcome, Jennifer.
Thank
Herman.
You. Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
She's, I don't know, you're going to learn a lot about Jennifer. She is part of the new group called Resurrection Roller Girls, and you're going to learn all about that tonight.
Yeah, we've never had a guest on about one that's representing the roller derby here in Sonoma County and right in Ronert Park at Cal State, right?
That's right.
So we are going to be talking to Jen Herman and find out how that all fits in her life and how she negotiates the world and her ideas about what freedom are. We met her at comedy night. And we just clicked, and we invited her to be on the show. So we're going to find out.
We did more than click. We fell in love.
It's mutual.
So we want to find out all about Jennifer. But before that, we do have news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer for tonight, Greg Moralia.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for this Sunday, July 1st, 2012. In Kentucky, the trial of two men charged with a hate crime for attacking a gay man has been set for October 15th. Federal prosecutors say this is the first federal case charging a violation of the Matthew Shepard James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Act passed in 2009. U.S. District Judge Gregory Van Tattenhove issued the new trial date on Wednesday after delaying proceedings for the 20-year-old Anthony Ray Jenkins and 37-year-old Jason David Jenkins earlier this month. The two men are charged with kidnapping, assault, and violating the hate crime law. Anthony Jenkins' wife, Alexis Jenkins, and sister, Mabel Jenkins, were also involved and have already pleaded guilty. They're scheduled to be sentenced in August. And in Utah, a group of Mormons is planning a mass resignation from the church this week. This according to a report from Reuters. Several dozen Mormons will gather in Salt Lake City and sign a Declaration of Independence from Mormonism. More than 100 people have expressed interest to the organizers, John and Zilpha Larson. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints claims more than 14 million members worldwide. The Larsons say the numbers are inflated by people who are no longer in agreement with the church's teachings, but leave their names on the rolls to avoid consequences. The Mormon Church has a long anti-gay history, but tensions were inflated after it played a leadership role in funding and organizing an effort to pass Proposition 8 here in California. Mormons marched at the Gay Pride Parade in Salt Lake City and New York this year, and in New York, marchers held signs proclaiming, quote, "We love you, sorry we're late." And here locally, Lazy Bear Weekend, the Russian River's largest gay event, will happen Wednesday, August 1st through Monday, August 6th at various locations in Guerneville, including the place where the event started 16 years ago, the R3 Resort, of course known then as the Russian River Resort. The long weekend kicks off Wednesday with pool parties from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at both the Highlands Resort and R3 Resort, where DJ Matt Effect from Sydney, Australia, will spin. Later that night, the pool party continues at the R3 with the official opening night event featuring local favorite DJ Rotten Robbie. Thursday starts off with Early Bear Fitness with Julia Mashburn at 10 a.m. The Woods Resorts then joins the Highland and R3 in the pool party hop from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. There will be a Hollywood sneak preview at 8 p.m. at Old Fellows Hall. A bonfire will then happen from 9 p.m. until 2 a.m. at the Outback Campgrounds with music provided by DJ Frantic. A full-service bar will also be available. Friday's daytime events include Bear in the Woods, a hike through Armstrong Woods with naturalist Seth Adams at 10 a.m. The addition of the West Sonoma Inn and the Estate ups the number of pool parties to 5, all starting at 11 a.m. And the Bear with Balls miniature golf tournament at Pee Wee Golf starts at 1 p.m. Friday night offers Ante Up Bears, Lazy Bear's first Texas Hold'em tournament at 6 p.m. at Odd Fellows Hall. And then the party continues into the night with Daddy Shack Disco Under Bear Party at the River Theater and another wild bonfire happening from 10 p.m. until 2 a.m. On Saturday, August 4th, 5 pool parties will be featured. Big Muscle Bear Ice Cream Social at the Coffee Bazaar will happen at 2 p.m. and Sisters Bingo Lazy Bear Edition will begin at 4 p.m. at Oddfellows Hall. Lazy Bear Live with Lady Bunny may prove to be the weekend's height of entertainment from 7:30 to 10 p.m. at Veterans Hall. And then the party continues at the River Theater with Sweat, featuring DJs Sean Mack and John LePage. And on Sunday, August 5th, the pool parties will be consolidated into one giant blowout at the Estate, which can accommodate more than 3,000 revelers. DJ Rotten Robbie will spin, and there'll be a full barbecue with bar and drinks served by members of the Sacramento Gay Men's Chorus. This all happens from 11 a.m. through 6 p.m. on that Sunday. Then the party moves back to the River Theater at 8 p.m. for a tea dance. This will be the official closing night dance party. Lazy Bear tags are now available for purchase for $105, and the tags get purchasers into daily pool parties and bonfires for free and into other events at a discounted price. The tags can also be used to get discounts at many restaurants and from retailers in Guerneville throughout that week. Learn more about Lazy Bear Weekend at their website at lazybearweekend.com. Now here's your calendar events for the coming week. On Monday, July 2nd from 7 to 8 p.m., the Parents of Transgender Youth Support Group meets at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Tuesday, July 3rd from 10 a.m. until noon, the Napa Older Adult Discussion Group will happen at the Queen of the Valley Community Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And also on Tuesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m., the trans group will gather at the Positive Images Center in Santa Rosa. And on Wednesday, July 4th from 6 to 8 p.m., the Marin County Women Seeking Women will gather at Jason's Restaurant, 300 Drake's Landing Road in Greenbrae. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof, as Greg said, with Diana and me, Sheridan. And we are in studio this evening with Jen Herman, also known as the Herminator. So again, welcome, Jennifer. Jen?
Thank you. You can call me Jen.
Yeah. All right, Jen. So tell us, how'd you get your name, the Herminator?
Well, I actually was first called the Herminator when I played soccer at age 10. There were probably six Jennifers on my team, and so we all got a nickname or something, and the Herminator just stuck at that time. And when I started playing roller derby, I couldn't think of anything better. I said, you know, I'm just going to stick with Herminator. And, you know, it served me well.
So. I think it's a fabulous name. How does it serve you? What kind of reactions do you get from being the Herminator?
Well, there's something sort of visceral about it, like Herminator. You know, it feels good to say when they announce your name at the beginning of a bout. You know, they go, and the Herminator, you know, sort of guttural. And I just feel like it's fun, it's powerful. And my teammates often call me Herm, or people who are closer to me in derby call me Hermie as an affectionate term. And it just feels very me.
You mentioned something, you said bout, and I was wondering if you could explain what that is.
Okay. Well, in roller derby, our games, our matches, we call them bouts. And so if you're going to see roller derby, you are going to see a bout.
Oh, thank you.
So tell us when you got started in roller derby. Seemed like you really, really involved in it. Especially at comedy night. You guys are out there at the tables doing your thing, recruiting, letting people know who you are. How did you get so involved?
Well, I started playing roller derby actually almost 2.5 years ago back in Massachusetts. And I was just at a point in my life where I was looking for a sense of community with other people who are wanting to kind of get out there and do something kind of different and strong and kind of just taking charge of their life. And in roller derby, you definitely find that. You know, everybody is just loving the sport, but also loving the community building, loving just helping their league grow and getting out there in the community, being a role model.
No pun intended.
And yeah, that's right. ROLL model. Very good. And And so I found roller derby, and I said, you know, that sounds like a lot of fun. Let's, my friend Candace and I back in Massachusetts, let's go do that. And we went there, and I was expecting, you know, really intimidating people, and it was going to be scary, and they're strong. And they were just so, so nice, and they were still very strong, and I was also scared to get hit by them in the beginning. But just everybody was really welcoming, just really wanted to teach you to skate, really wanted to welcome you in, you know, help you be part of the derby family. And so here I am 2.5 years later. This is the second league that I've skated with. My first league was Pioneer Valley Roller Derby in Northampton, Massachusetts, and here in Rona Park with Resurrection Roller Girls. And it's just a fabulous league. They started last January 2011 and are just really working on growing the league and recruiting members. We have basic training night every Monday, which we open up to new folks who want to come in and learn. And we've got a junior league, Resurrection Roller Girls Junior Derby. So it's ages 7 to 17, which is really fun to watch. Little 7 to 10-year-olds just out there skating around. And just everybody kind of being there for each other in terms of the whole community. You know, I was shopping for a car, for example, and I said, I don't really want to go see this car by myself. It feels kind of sketchy. So I put on Facebook to my group. I said, you know, go look for a car. Anybody come with me? Two of my league mates came out, made sure that, you know, I was safe and helped me ask all the right questions and, you know, just right there for me. So, you know, we love to skate and skate around and hit each other and everything. And but it really is about the community aspect and being a family and off the track, really, kind of developing together. So I just am very much in love with all aspects on and off the track. So here I am talking about it.
I know. So it's sort of like instant family because you were in Massachusetts 2 years ago. What draw you, what pulled you this way?
I grew up in Massachusetts, north of Boston, went to school in New Hampshire, lived out in Western Mass for 4 years, and I was loving roller derby, loving my job, you know, I was close to my family, but I just knew that if I stayed in New England my whole life that I would just never know what it was like outside New England, and I really feel like getting outside my comfort zone is important, I think, like for a lot of people, but getting outside your comfort zone to grow and really challenge yourself and say, you know, who is Jennifer Herman outside her comfort zone? You know, who am I outside Massachusetts and what I know? So I originally tried to move to Seattle and felt a bit overwhelmed after 3 weeks in the city. And I have my aunts live in Santa Rosa, and they said, you know, why don't you come stay with us for a few months, take some pressure off, and just, you know, figure your stuff out. You can go back to Seattle when you're ready. I said, oh, that's such a relief. Thank you. So I came here and decided to stay. I just fell in love with the weather, fell in love with the people, decided that I just had really no reason to go back to Seattle. And then I decided to start skating again, got into skates at Cal Skate in Rona Park with the Resurrection Roller Girls, and here I am.
Wow.
Yes.
That's quite a journey. We're going to be asking you more questions about that probably in the second half of our show as we get to know you a little bit more. But there's something that you said earlier about basic training on Mondays, mm-hmm. nights, and that's when you welcome the newbies. And so if there's somebody listening out there and they kind of think, oh, maybe I'd like to do roller derby, what would a basic training look like? Because right now I'm like, and so I would not be doing it because I probably wouldn't have enough breath. You know what I mean? So what does it look like?
Sure. Well, I would say if there is that little voice in you that says, maybe I should do roller derby, go with that voice. Give it a loud microphone. Turn it up, because that voice is asking an important question. That question led me to do roller derby and has absolutely changed my life. And so if you do decide to come out and join us at basic training, you'll meet me. I'm at most of the basic training nights, along with my teammate Permaband is her derby name. And we have rental gear, so you don't have to have your own skates. You don't have to have your own helmet, knee pads, elbow pads, wrist guards. We can provide that for you. And we basically just start with seeing where that skater is at first. You know, some people have a hockey background and they're pretty comfortable getting going right away. And some people are still really holding on to the wall, which is totally fine. You know, a lot of really amazing derby players started with no experience. And it's just that really passion and drive to get better and stick with roller derby, which makes them great players. You know, it makes them, you know, progress. And so one night for basic training, you'd start off on skates, you know, would maybe do a few laps around. We'd teach you, you know, how to fall, how to stop, just some of the basics. There's a few different ways you can kind of catch yourself. And I really like to emphasize the fundamentals of just how to stand on your skates, how to, you know, have a good solid stance. And so if you start to feel yourself losing your balance, you just return to that kind of, you've seen it, everyone's seen it, that position of just kind of crouching down with your legs are bent, your hips are bent, and you're just ready to hit someone or ready to just skate. But so teaching people just some of the basic fundamentals so they can first skate safely, because derby is, you know, it's a contact sport and there's high risk for injury really when you're not well-trained or you don't have good fundamentals. So we really want to help people do it safely so they can do it for a long time, and make sure they're having fun. So we often, you know, check in with them and say, you know, anybody have any questions, or get people kind of talking to each other, getting people to kind of get to know each other, because it's a really important part of roller derby is having trust with your teammates, having trust of yourself on the track. And I just say, you know, first is safety, and second is you have to be willing to make a fool out of yourself in front of a lot of people, because if you're scared to fall, you know, in a crazy way, you're scared to stumble, you're going to hold yourself back and you're going to hesitate. And so I often clap and applaud people when they first fall. I say, good, get that out of your system, because it's going to happen a lot, you know. And often people are just laughing and having a good time. And you know, that to me is a successful night at basic training.
Wow, I can just see, I mean, the audience, you don't see this big smile. I mean, you're just so passionate about it. It just feels so right for you.
It feels very right for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just curious about that night when you have basic training, and you could have a 7-year-old or maybe a 35-year-old. Is that
true? Uh-huh. Well, in the basic training that I run, I work only with the adults. We have another coach who works with the juniors specifically, and often parents will be involved. A lot of our skaters who skate on the adult women's league also have kids who skate on the junior league. So I know that some of our skaters will skate with their kids when they're learning, to kind of be that support to them and to teach them, which is really great. I think that's a really nice bonding experience too. So I don't teach the 7-year-olds, but we do have, you know, a variety of ages. I've skated with skaters between the ages of 18 and 63, I believe.
What?
Is the oldest skater I've skated with. Yes.
63, but not in a derby.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Well, I think the oldest female skater I've skated with is 51, and my old league was co-ed, and one of our boating skaters, he was 63, I believe. Yeah.
Well, it's not like it used to be, like on TV when we were watching Cher, when they were beating each other up, like, you know.
It's better.
Drawing blood. They're not doing that anymore.
Well, it's coming from a different perspective. I mean, I think back then their goal was entertainment. Their goal, you know, those skaters are making money. You know, those skaters were sponsored by, you know, it was owned by an owner. Someone owned those teams. And roller derby now, this current revival of roller derby over the past really 10 years, it's all skater owned and it's all kind of from the ground up. So we don't get that kind of reimbursement. we all pay monthly dues to skate.
Oh.
And so that's part of paying the rent of having, you know, a space to skate. I'm part of maintaining the league. And
so it's more like a club.
Yes.
So it's more like a club.
Well, so that was a financial piece. That's right. So it's a club. And so with the sport, it's a sport that has a lot of rules. And so the key is to keep people safe while they're still hitting each other and skating fast and doing these fancy tricks. So we do, it's a full contact sport. You know, we can't headbutt each other. We can't elbow each other. We can't kick each other. But, you know, mostly like body checks, just like in hockey with your hips, your shoulders, your, you know, side body.
Do they still do those whips where,
oh, yeah,
you take somebody and you whip them past somebody else and they just go flying?
Yes. There's lots of different whips. Yeah, some of them are, you know, when you have your arm out to the side and you're kind of swinging it around, everybody really likes that one because it's very showy. But there's lots of ways that we assist each other as skaters. You know, it might just be like a little push, you know, to someone at their hip level to kind of give them an extra speed. There's this new move out, which just came out at one of the big tournaments back east. It's called the Pegasus, the Pegasus, which is a play on the word Pegasus. It's an assist where basically
Peg assist.
That's right.
Oh.
The Rose City Rollers and Rose City Roller Girls in Portland, Oregon, invented this, I guess. And basically, it's when one of the skaters is inbounds and they kind of swing them around. I wish I could even, it's hard to explain on the radio.
Yeah.
But they sort of swing them around outside the track and then bring them back in the track. So it's sort of like they're swinging them around in from 180 degrees. And it's just really cool because they're kind of flying for a minute.
So are you doing that too now?
We're going to try to learn. I think that's going to be the hot new move in roller derby. And it's a pretty advanced move.
Huh.
I mean, they're really, that was some of the best skaters in the world that are showing us those things. But it's very exciting to see how the sport is still developing all the time and new things. And people are learning how to play with the rules that we have and how to kind of get better and excel. So we as a league, are not skating at that level. That's a pretty developed, advanced level. But we have some really amazing skaters who are really talented. And we're going to try to incorporate some of that fun stuff.
It sounds great. I like it for the girls, especially for some reason, because of they get to have some contact and move about on the track in that
mm-hmm.
way to build like confidence and self-esteem. I mean, do you see mm-hmm. that happening with
absolutely,
the girls?
Absolutely. It's the most, it's probably one of the most empowering environments that you could find, for women today in sports. I mean, it's extremely body positive. It's extremely inclusive, being out as a lesbian, I've never felt any kind of homophobia at all on the track. It's very much, an out and welcoming space. And, for girls of all ages, it really is a space that's dedicated to helping women develop personally and develop as a team. And it's more than just the skating skills, because you can be the best skater in the world. And if you can't work with your team, or if you don't know how to work with your team, then you're not going to be very effective. It is very much a team sport. You have to trust each other and really trust yourself. And so I think, like anywhere in life, a skill that you learn in one area transfers to other areas. So, just being able to kind of be powerful and in your body and in your voice and really trust yourself and trust your teammates and have that sense of community, absolutely transfers to outside the track. And, in roller derby, because, it is skater run and skater owned, and we're a nonprofit, Resurrection Roller Girls, you often have a lot of jobs outside the track on different committees. We have skaters who are running the coaching committee, which I'm involved in. We have media relations, people who are involved in getting sponsorship, people who are involved in liaisoning with other teams. So it's very much an organizational skills development thing too, which you don't really know when you first get involved with roller derby. You just think, hey, cool, skating, fun, hitting people, that looks cool. But it really is really very empowering. And I think in terms of being out in the community and outreach, it gives you kind of an avenue to connect to people that maybe you wouldn't have before. Like the two of you, I connected to the two of you while I was doing outreach for our league. And it is very much about the sport, but it's about what that sport really represents, which is women creating a space for themselves to be powerful.
Well, speaking of that, we have a really appropriate song by Desiree called You Gotta Be, and it's all about being stronger. And when I look at you, Jen, I just see this really strong woman who has found like true light, like you just emanating light and joy when you're talking about this. And I totally get it that you can take the skills you learn into the rest of the areas of your life. And I hope, listeners, you'll stay so that we can explore Jen's life as a lesbian and as, how she came out and how she came to be this light in the world. So enjoy. Thank you.
Challenge what the future holds. Try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go Go ahead, release your fears. Stand up and be counted. Don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard. You gotta be tough. You gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool. You gotta be calm. You gotta stay together. All I know, love will save the day. Herald what your mother said. Read the books your father read. Trying to solve the puzzles in your own sweet time. Some may have more cash than you. Others take a different view. My, oh my, yeah. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. Your day unfolds. Challenge what the future holds. Trying to keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. My, oh my, eh, eh, eh. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. Together. All I know, love will save the day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together.
If you just joined us, you're listening to Living Proof on Outbeat Radio with Diane and Sheridan. And our guest tonight is Jen Herman, also known as the Herminator. And we're getting to know Jen, and she's been talking to us about roller derby in Ronert Park. And we're about to delve into other parts of her life.
Other deeper parts of her life.
I'm an open book, ladies.
She's an open book, and I love it. And the show is about freedom, you know. So, and you just seem so such a free person, free-spirited person as well. And so we want to just, you know, delve in a little bit and learn about you as a lesbian and how you came out and when you came out, and if you can share some of that. I know there's some connection with Massachusetts and coming here, but, you know, whatever you can share with us and our audience, we appreciate it.
Sure. Well, I came out my senior year of college. I was probably 21 at the time. My junior year is sort of my living situation was sort of stressful. School was stressful, and I was starting to kind of question, but didn't have a good emotional space to really just feel centered and like I could be in my own space. So that summer, I had been planning to go to Wales in the United Kingdom to do research abroad as a nursing school. And so I just had, you know, a lot of kind of free time to read and go on long walks on the beach and, you know, take myself out to dinner and things. And there's just one day I was in the library, and I wish I remember what books I was reading at the time. I would just, you know, go to the women's studies section and go into the gay and lesbian section, just kind of just take in all those words and all, you know, the writers, and just, you know, kind of that foundation that's already been laid for me, people that were already out and kind of doing this good work. And, just processing, like, how did it sit with me? How did it fall, you know, when I was reading these words? And at one point, I was just sitting there in this little square window. It was a little shelf, I remember. And it just clicked to me. I said, I know that I'm a lesbian. I said, I just, I just know at this point, like, it just, the question has been answered for me in some way. And I just, it really frightened me at first. I didn't know, like, what to really do about that or how to come out to people. And I remember that summer in a bookstore, I wanted to buy a lesbian magazine, and I was just shaking. I was so nervous, and I was looking at, like, who's going to see me buying this? What does it mean? What are they going to think? And, you know, it was I just didn't know. It was like being, you know, dropped in a foreign land and then not knowing how to speak the language, you know? And so when I came back home, I started coming out to family members. I came out first to my sister, who's just a little bit younger than me. She's a year and 9 months younger than me. And overall, my family and friends were extremely supportive. You know, it was, you know, a lot of like tears of relief, you know, once I told them, to kind of finally say, like, this is who I am, and to be seen by people you love, you know, is a really powerful experience. And, you know, kind of coming out to the really important people over that first year or so. And I decided to move out to Northampton, Massachusetts, which is a place where you can be out very easily. I feel it's a very out community. And so I went there because I knew that, although, you know, being out to me was new, that I need to be in a space where I could really develop that. And so over the past 4 years in Northampton, Mass, I really was starting to get a lot more comfortable in my skin, and, you know, coming out to people at work and coming out to people, you know, that I met, and coming out to neighbors. And it's sort of, you know, at first it was really nerve wracking. It would be really emotional. And then after a while, it started to become really fun. I just thought, oh, this is entertaining. How can I come out to them? This is sort of, wow, this is fun. And I think the more I was just like in my life and kind of in myself about it, that it just became more natural.
So I have a question before you continue.
Sure.
A lot of people have like decision to make in their lifetime, and you made a choice to be honest about who you were when you came back from Wales and you came out to your family.
Mm-hmm.
But other people may have kept that quiet, mm-hmm, and to themselves. And I'm curious why you made that choice.
Well, to me, it just seemed like, I mean, as you can tell from our interview, I'm very much a sharer. I think just like sharing who I am, you know, thoughts, feelings, whatever, it just has always been part of who I am. And it felt like a very natural thing. And to be honest, it felt more painful to keep it in than to let it out, you know, come out. And I think, you know, being honest, and it the goal wasn't necessarily to be honest, but it really was to be free. I mean, to go with the theme, it kind of traps us in the closet, really, when we stay in the closet. And it's painful in that way because we're isolated, you know. And I think, you know, when I first started coming out, I still wasn't out in all areas of my life. So I kind of felt that, you know, that kind of gradient of, you know, kind of just first coming out and then kind of being out in all areas of my life. And, it just really is to avoid the pain of the closet, really, you know. And I feel like in that kind of foundation, that experience really helped me figure out how to free myself in other ways. Because if you're coming out about who you are in one area of your life, you know, you kind of can practice that in all areas of your life. And so, you know, whether it's coming out about, you know, what it is that you like, or, you know, who, you know, your opinions or your voice, you know, or even if I'm telling someone that I play roller derby, you know, there's that little moment of hesitation where you go, you know, do I say this now? Like, should I say it? Is this okay? Not necessarily about roller derby, but anything where, you know, I think there's a lot of pressure on us in the world to kind of conform in certain ways, and, you know, that we feel not okay about ourselves. And I think every time that little voice comes up where we feel not okay, like, that's the time where we have to come out, and that's the time we have to say who we are and create that space for ourselves. Because really we can only do that for ourselves. And it just really is so entertaining. Like, I can't emphasize that enough, that it really is fun to come out to people. When I met you, the both of you, Sherry and, Diana, I said, ooh, I get to come out to them, you know. And it is fun coming out to other lesbians because it's about connecting, you know, and it's saying, like, I see you and you see me, and it feels good to feel visible, because there's a lot of ways that we're invisible in the world, you know. and even like, to people that have come out to, you know, that are not part of the GLBT community, sometimes their understanding only goes so far about what it means for me to be out. And so there's some way that even though they're supportive and loving in the way that they can, that there's still some sort of invisibility there. So, you know, even this right now, talking on the radio show, you know, it is about being visible and about creating a space. And also, you know, for other people who maybe aren't out, like just giving a voice to, you know, this is like one person's story, mm-hmm. because there's so many stories and so many people that have enabled me to be out in the way that I am and to kind of role model in that way, which mm-hmm. feels really good. You know, because often, like anything, it's never the way you think it's going to be. You know, it's always like, oh, that's cool. They have a radio show about being out. I never would have thought of that. Oh, yeah, sure, I'll go on that radio show.
Yeah, you didn't hesitate. And yeah. We love that. It was easy with you, you know.
Cause yeah.
Like you're talking about some people, you know, we have the voices that shows up and that cuts us off. Mm-hmm. So let's go and talk about that little voice, mm-hmm. because you say you came out at 21.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about that voice. What happened? Prior to the coming out, what was happening for you as far as same sex or whatever interests or?
Well, I think that in retrospect, I see that there were kind of ways that I had, you know, kind of same sex attraction or like was just more lesbian in my thoughts. But I didn't know that that's what it was, or like at the time I just like didn't. I wasn't really asking myself the question. And so I don't really know how to explain it. I just feel like as a teenager, you know, it's like, which really up until 21, yeah, it's pretty, I mean, 21 is really young.
Who are you doing it?
You know?
Grade school yeah, and teenagerhood. You know? Come on
I mean,
now.
It's just like, there's so much, I feel like it was a lot of pressure, you know, to mm-hmm. be a certain way, you know? And I felt that, I was sort of lost touch with like who Jenny really was. I went by Jenny at that time. I don't really anymore. Who, you know, who Jen was and, you know, going to college and having that experience of being away from home and being away from all the familiarity of, you know, people that I knew in high school, you sort of go like, maybe that really wasn't working for me. Maybe I really wasn't as happy as I thought I was or thought I was supposed to be, you know, it was just like a lot about pleasing other people, you know, and I think, as sort of just like a overachiever, you know, high school girl type things. But, so I was just really out of touch with, you know, with the parts of myself. And so in kind of that journey, that adventure of, you know, going to college and discovering myself and things, that's part of what came up. And, very much, I feel like I was very much influenced by feminism and, you know, feminist thinking and women's studies. And I studied nursing, but everything outside you know, my academic work was really working towards developing, you know, what was feminism? What is oppression? And, you know, what does that mean for me? And what does it mean for people? And, you know, kind of gaining understanding of both our oppressions and our privileges in the world. And so the emotional journey that went along with that was just kind of asking myself questions like, maybe this is who I am and maybe this isn't or maybe it is. And, you know, so it turns out I'm a lesbian.
So I'm kind of curious because it sounds like you didn't have a relationship with a girl.
No.
Before you decided you were a lesbian.
Not a relationship as, you know, most people define it. I'd say what I do have come to understand about relationships with women is that, you know, like a lot of like the best friendships you have as a teenager, a lot of like the really close friendships with women that you have that's sort of lesbian in a way. And it's like very, it's very centered on like your primary relationship is with your female friends really, you know? And I think, you know, as a lesbian, like I wanted to kind of carry that feeling, you know, it just into relationships. Like it seemed like the natural progression of like that kind of connection would be, you know, kind of being together in more intimate ways, not necessarily to say that I wanted to be with my best friends, but just that kind of progression of like, you know, wanting women to be the center of your emotional, you know, physical, mental, social worlds. That seems like a very natural thing. You know, once I realized that was what was important to me, I had like long-term boyfriends and things in high school, you know, and I was like really in love and I had fun and everything, but it was just this part of me that was like, I just want to be with women. You know, I just think, like my, that is just who I connect to, you know? So my first relationship with a woman was when I was in Northampton. And, that was really what was kind of my jumping off point to coming out to a lot of people, because I thought, well, I can just tell them that I have a girlfriend, and then that'll kind of help me come out and say, like, I'm a lesbian, as opposed to just, like, being with a new coworker and going, like, well, just wanted you to know I'm not going to be with men, you know, I'm a lesbian, you know. I just think in the beginning it was harder, and now I'm not in a relationship, and I'm just more comfortable talking to people and coming out. But in the beginning, that was a really exciting thing, my first relationship, and it was really helped me come out. You know, to people.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking about our next song, because it's just like so fitting. We are going to take a music break, and we are going to be playing none other than Cyndi Lauper's True Colors in your honor, Jen.
Right.
But before we take a music break, I wanted everyone to know, or Diana and I wanted everyone to know, that Jen has been really, really generous, and her Resurrection Girls have been really generous, and they're going to offer 2 tickets to their next bout. Can you tell us a little bit about when that's going to be?
Sure. Our next bout at home, which is at Cal State in Roanoke Park, will be August 25th. We'll actually be playing each other. We're going to split our women's league in half, and we're going to play each other. So that'll be really exciting, and it's always great to have kind of home base where everybody that's coming is coming to see us. You know, it's really exciting. So that will be actually a doubleheader. Our junior roller derby team will be playing first. The doors open, I believe it's 7. I want to say 7 o'clock. Yes, at 7 o'clock is when the doors open. And after the junior bout, our adult women will bout, usually about 8 or 8:30, depending on how things go. And it's a really enjoyable event. It's family-friendly as well as adult-friendly. We have a bar area. So, you know, it's good for having an adult night out or taking the whole family.
All right. Well, thank you so much. If you are interested in 2 tickets to the Resurrection Roller Girls bout, we will take first caller. You need to call 584-2020. That's 584-2020. And we'll be back after we hear Cyndi's True Colors.
can or you can plan. You call me up because you know I'll be there. And I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let it show.
Cyndi Lauper's True Colors. Lovely. Boy, we don't have that much time left. Dang. So, Jen, coming here to California, you told us earlier before the show that you had some family here. Could you talk a little bit about that and how that affected you in your life?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, part of my adventure of coming out to the West Coast, I originally wanted to go to Seattle, and I thought, yeah, I can make this work. There's no job, no place to live, no car, no family, no friends. I'll make it work. Turns out that's a lot more difficult than I thought. And thankfully, I have my two aunts who live in Santa Rosa, and they, like I had mentioned before, said, you know, why don't you come stay with us? And I just was so relieved to really have family that I could come home to. You know, I didn't realize until I moved away from everything that was familiar that it really is important to have some family around. And my Auntie Janie is my father's sister, and I've known her, you know, for my whole life, and she's been out in the family. She's a lesbian as well. And so coming out to her was a very natural thing, and I've been very close with her and have visited California. And her partner, Anna, who I now consider my aunt, they're just two really incredible, powerful, beautiful women who gave me a really strong foundation in life. I just moved out of their home about a month and a half ago, and I live in my own apartment in Santa Rosa. And just spending, you know, several months with them, I mean, just from the way I slice bread to the way, you know, I, you know, articulate myself in the community, and there's some sort of advice or role modeling or foundation that they've given me that have really formed who I am. And, you know, I just am eternally grateful to them for opening up their home and, you know, their hearts, and they're my aunts. And so luckily I get to have them my whole life, really. And they're incredible. And so, you know, being in a household that was a lesbian household, a Jewish household, a feminist household, it was really, you know, it was just ideal. What else could I have asked for, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was just time for me to have my own space, to get my own apartment. But I only live a mile from them, so I very much, you know, have them in my life. And
they sound like incredible women and maybe potential guests on our show.
Yeah. Oh, they're incredible, yeah. Yeah.
Put a word in for it. Okay.
I will.
Aunties, thank you for doing such a wonderful job embracing your niece.
Janie and Anna.
Janie, uh-huh. Auntie Janie and Anna. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so what were we going to talk about next? I think we want to share my grandmother's story. Okay. One of the first stories, I guess I'm leading the show now.
Yeah, there you go, honey.
Wow.
We love it.
Maybe we want a new Outbeat member, Jen.
Sure. twist my arm. When I first was coming out, you know, trying to figure out how to come out to family members and, you know, particularly family members who live far away. And sometimes, you know, does it fit in a conversation? I don't know. And my grandmother, she's Jewish, and, you know, I'm one of the few members of my family that really still holds on to the Jewish holidays. I wasn't brought up with a lot of Jewish traditions, but you definitely have a Jewish identity. And as an adult, I'm really making more of an effort to learn about about the holidays and participating and just enjoying that, you know, piece of community. And so it was Yom Kippur, and I had been at temple all day. I was feeling really good about, you know, just being there in this great space, all these people. And at the time I was working the night shift as a nurse, so I'd been up all night. And then for Yom Kippur you fast, so I'd been up for probably like 20 hours. I hadn't eaten in 20 hours. And so I have this like kind of euphoric state that comes from that sort of fasting. So I decided it was a good time to call my grandmother and come out to her. So I called her and I said, "Hey, Grandma, you know, I just wanted to let you know I went to temple all day. It's Yom Kippur." And she said, "Oh, Jennifer, that's wonderful. Wonderful to hear. That's, oh, I love it." You know, and so I said, "And I also wanted to tell you, you know, I have a girlfriend." And she goes, "Oh, is she Jewish?" I said, "No." She goes, "Oh, well, that's okay." And it was just really a sweet, you know, kind of moment. And it just felt really good to say that to her. And, you know, to really have it on a holiday, I think, you know, being Jewish is very much a part of my identity. And, you know, I kind of come out to people about that as well as coming out as a lesbian, because it's something that's really not seen, you know, one of those things. So, I like to share that story about my grandmother because it was really sweet of her, you know, to react like that. And I enjoyed it.
When you shared it with us at comedy night, it was just so wonderful and so sweet. It's like, grandma's clear, you know, the Jewish thing was more important than the same sex thing, right? It was so cute.
Yeah. So it was fun.
So this whole evening, you've been really open with us, and we really appreciate it. And we do have to close in about 5 minutes. So we thought that we'd just maybe go around, all four of us, including Greg, our engineer, and just talk about what freedom is. I mean, in 3 days, it's going to be 4th of July, Freedom, Independence Day. And so with the theme of being free, I mean, you've really talked about being free this whole evening. But in a nutshell, how would you define freedom?
I would define freedom, just like I talked about that little voice, when you're listening to that voice and you're in touch with it and in your feelings, in your truth, it's like that space where you could just as easily, you know, cry or be angry or laugh or dance, you know, whatever it is that's coming out of you naturally. It's just you're in your authentic self, you're in your authentic life, and you have a certain freedom in that. I think you just, there's a certain trust that you have with yourself when you just let yourself kind of say, you know what, I don't have to plan everything. I don't have to be super woman. You know, I'm just going to let the day go and just what's coming up for me, what's going on, and rolling with the flow. So, you know, I think, and I often say that my best friends are the people who you can have those really deep, you know, serious conversations with, and then a second later be laughing about something very silly, because it's very related, and just that kind of freedom of space.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well said.
Yes, thank you.
What about you, Mr. Greg? What do you think?
Well, I think I agree very much with Jen, because being able to be who you are is really a very important thing that I think we take for granted for sometimes. You know, last week at Pride, we were out, you know, partying it up and celebrating who we are. And, you know, as I think about freedom, that means a lot, particularly when you think about what's going on in Uganda, where being gay is proposed to be a capital offense, or even in Russia and in Moscow, where, you know, they just passed a ban on all pride celebrations and all expression for the next 100 years. And having a radio show like this, you know, where we can engage in conversations and talk to people and really be who we are, being out totally, that's what freedom is. Mm. No matter who you are.
What about you,
Sarah? I was just saying, and you, Diana?
And you?
Well, gosh, it's hard to follow up that. I mean, both of you, Jen and Greg, are so eloquent. I'll go in another direction then. I'll say that drumming is freedom, because as women, we have gotten the message that women can't be drummers. I just got back from drum camp, born to drum camp. And I met a woman who is in her 60s, and she was telling me the story about when she was 4 years old and she wanted to drum, and her family said, "No, girls don't drum." And then she was in fourth grade and wanted to drum, and they said, "No, girls don't drum." And now she's 60, and she's finally coming into the drum. And I feel so fortunate that I discovered drumming when I was 40 and not 60, and just have that freedom to express myself. Mm-hmm. Diana?
Wow, nice. Wow, I don't have enough time. Freedom is just, I mean, as a marriage family therapist, that's what I do, is help people become freer, right? The voices, the gatekeepers that keep them in a box. And I've been working my whole life around not listening to those voices and being able to be authentic. And that's what freedom is. When you had a great example of it, Jen, when you hear the voice, I mean, it can close you down and lock you in lockdown, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can say, no, I want to go come out of the box and be my authentic self. And so we are in the box in so many different ways, race, sexual orientation, everything, gender, just a lot of different ways. So I can continue on this topic for a long time, but my work is about encouraging people and helping them find a way to be set free.
One sentence, we do have to close. Thank you, Diana. Jen, in one sentence, if you can, advice to anyone listening about anything in your mind, last words.
Love yourself. Just love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. You know, life is very precious, and, you know, the people around us, the situations around us, just cherish the now.
Well said. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being our guest.
So we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight, listening to our wonderful guest, the Herminator, Jen Herman. This is Dr. Di and Sheridan, and we're signing off for now. And I just want you to remember that Jen said something earlier that I wrote down. She said, if you're scared to fall, you'll hold yourself back. It's important. And we want you to know that people like Jen are living proof that our community is strong and vibrant and beautiful. Until next month,
good night.
Tune in next Sunday night for Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan. That's at 8 p.m. right here on KRCB Radio. Support for Outbeat Radio comes from KRCB Radio members and from the Osher Marin JCC Summer Nights Festival of October Concerts. Celebrate life and live music with hot buttered rum banjo virtuoso Bill Evans on Saturday, July 7th, and the return of the multicultural high spirits of Rupa and the April Fishes on Saturday, July 14th. All concerts begin at 7 p.m., and tickets are available by calling 415-444-8000 or online at marinjcc.org. And from Lagunitas Brewing Company of Petaluma, Lagunitas, putting the pub in public radio. No more praying. Fear speaks, people mumble.
No more crying. Look all around us. People are starving and dying.
You're listening to KRCB FM Santa Rosa at 91.1 and 90.9 FM. You'll always find us streaming live on the web at krcb.org. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. New Dimensions is next.
Empty answers.